I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, I'd like to read verse 16. The scripture declares, take his garment, that is surety, for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Now, to get the meaning of this passage of scripture, let's just imagine that we're in a courtroom. And actually, there's only four people in that courtroom. There's a judge. There's somebody that owes a debt. Someone has made himself surety for the one that owes the debt. And the creditor, the one to whom the debt is owed. Four people. The case has been heard, all the evidence is presented, and the judge makes a judgment based on the evidence. And the one that's speaking in this passage right here is the judge. Judge has looked over the situation. Here's a guy that owes some money or owes something. Here's somebody that's going to stand with him to make sure that if he can't pay, he's the surety, he'll pay. And here's a guy that is owed the money. And the judge makes this declaration. Take his garment, that surety, for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. The judge made the call. Well, from the wording of that proverb, obviously the stranger, the one that's spoken of as the stranger. Take a garment that is surety for a stranger. A stranger has incurred a debt, and he's failed to make good on his obligation. And the creditor, who is owed the payment, he wants his money. Or whatever is coming to him. He wants it. And the reason he wants it is because, number one, it's his. And the stranger hasn't made good on it. He got a debt and he hadn't paid it. And the judge gives the creditor the right and the freedom to take what the surety, the one who agreed to make good, if his friend, or in this case a stranger, if he couldn't make good on it, the surety said, well, I'll pay it. I'll make good on the debt. Now the surety, the one that would make good on the debt, he pledged his garment for the stranger. And he made good on a debt that the very name of the stranger. I looked up the word stranger, and here's what the word stranger means: unreliable. And from the last phrase right there, it said, "Take a pledge of him for a strange woman." It means one that's unfaithful. So here's a surety. And he agreed to stand as one that would make good on a debt that was incurred by one that was unreliable and unfaithful. Now, if that scenario was viewed just through the eyes of human logic, we can pretty well assume that the surety, the The one that said, I'll make good on the debt for that unreliable, unfaithful borrower. You'd have to say that's the most foolish thing that somebody could ever do. You just go on over into Fairmont and just find out, just walk in somewhere. Just walk into some place and just tell a creditor, somebody's bought something. Has anybody bought anything here lately that owes you money? Well, yeah, we have. Well, if anybody, can't pay, I'll stand good for it. Anybody. Do you know them? No. I don't know who they are, but whatever it is, doesn't matter. Whatever it is. You'd say, that's the silliest thing that somebody can do, because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to pay. You sign the line and make yourself a surety. You're going to make good on the debt. Now, humanly speaking, that's the most foolish thing that somebody could ever do. But I'm going to tell you something. Through the eyes of faith and the declaration of the gospel of God's grace, we're going to behold for a few minutes here the wonder of God's mercy and compassion to hell-deserving sinners. Mercy and grace undeserved against those who are nothing more than rebels against God. Unreliable, unfaithful rebels against God. Now this is one verse right here. Gloriously declares God's free grace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God declares the message of God's compassion to sinners who are totally incapable of doing anything for themselves. Unreliable, unfaithful sinners. A salvation that is totally of the Lord. Not of works on man's part, lest any man would boast and say, I did something. Now I want us to just consider just a few points on this one verse right here. Consider this proverb in light of the gospel of God. In this courtroom is a stranger. And let me tell you who that stranger is. Who does he represent? He represents none other than the everlastingly beloved sheep of Almighty God. This is the bride of Christ. The one that was chosen in Him, according to Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, that she should be holy and without blame before God in Christ. Now, I know that is the elect of God. I know that's God's church, chosen before the foundation of the world and given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of their names was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. The Book of Revelation declares that. No new entries. This is her. She's the stranger. She's the one that is standing before the judge and owes a debt. And I know it's her because she has a surety. She has somebody that can pay a debt. Now let me ask you this. Who but the elect of God has got one that can pay their debt? Who's going to pay the debt for somebody and they owe the same debt? Only God's sheep has a surety. So I know that the stranger is the elect of God. Now what happened to her? How'd she get there? Why is she standing in this courtroom today? Well, she and the entire Church of Christ was found among the mass of humanity. All of them. How many? Who is she? She's God's elect. I don't know who they are. God's going to call them out of darkness, but I don't know who they are until the Lord calls them out and reveals who they are. I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this. She was found in every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. That's what Revelation 5 says. She was chosen of God out of every age and every nation and every little kindred and every little village and every little family. And every God chose those that he would show mercy and compassion. So she was in the loins of Adam. She was there. Everybody came from Adam. That's where we came from. So all of God's sheep, all of God's elect, were found in Adam. And when Adam disobeyed God, so did the sheep. She was in his loins. And he, as her representative, suffered the penalty of Adam's transgression. What was the penalty? Well, Adam, in the day that you eat of that fruit that is forbidden, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. And Adam ate, and he died that moment. Not physically. He lived for hundreds of years after that. But spiritually. There was now no knowledge of God. He died spiritually. He had no love of God. He was afraid of God. How do I know? He said he was. Adam, where are you? Well, I hid myself. Why? I was afraid. Did you eat of the fruit? Well, the woman you gave me told me to. She did it in ignorance. He did it with his eyes wide open. God told Adam, in the day you eat, you're going to die. And she is too. Well, there in the Garden of Eden, all of mankind, including God's elect, failed to make good on a debt owed to God. What was the debt? Obedience. Obedience. That's the debt. Obey. And now, what is their state? Well, every man, every woman, God's elect, those are reprobates, they're all in default. Everybody, every man, every woman born into this world is in default. And now they're liable to the penalty of failing to pay. I'm going to tell you something. You go down and buy something, and you sign your name on a dotted line, and you drive off with that car or that coat or those, whatever. You owe. Well, I just won't pay. Well, I can tell you this. If justice is done, you're going to pay one way or the other. Either they're going to come and get you, and whatever the penalty is, if justice is done, whatever the law says, that's what's going to do. When man disobeyed God, let me tell you what God told him it was going to happen. The just God said, you're going to die. You don't make good on this debt, you're going to die. Well, where's man now? Well, I can tell you where he's at. He's separated from God. He's a stranger. He's polluted from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head with sin. There's no soundness and there's no wholesomeness at all in his being. And now the possessor of a heart that is nothing more than bent on rebellion against God, and he refuses to bow for mercy. Now listen, here's the way that we all are as being born in Adam. Now if you want to know, everybody says there's a little good in everybody. No, there's not. No, sir. Everybody in this room that was born into this world, and obviously you were, I'm looking at you. is nothing more than a maggot, a dead maggot. And you're unable and unwilling to come to Christ. Why? You're dead. I ain't coming. I don't want to come. You're estranged from the presence and the comfort and the fellowship of God because of a carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. What does that mean? I hate God. I hate God. And listen to this. You got a mind that's not in subjection to His will, His purpose, or His gospel. Here's where we are. We're guilty. We're broke. And we're arrogantly defiant against the God of all creation. I'm not going to have you rule over me. You want to bet? Man is in debt to God's law. God's law is the creditor. Because man failed to obey God's command. And now he's deserving to be cast into hell. And listen to this. Man doesn't care. These scriptures say right here, the soul that sinneth is going to die. And man is dead in trespasses and sins and says, I don't care. One day he will. One day he will. God's word concerning life by the law. Here's what God told Adam. You eat of all the fruit except one. In the day you eat that up thereof, you're going to die. This is what that was God's law. That was the law. That was what God said. This, it, you know, if you take a parent and tells a child, now don't do this. If you do this, this is what I'm going to do. Let me tell you something, the best thing in the world you can do, if they do what you told them don't do, you do what you said you're going to do. And then the next time they do, or you tell them that, they'll think back, you know. God is just. And when God Almighty says, don't eat or you're going to die, you're going to die. This is what the law says. This do and thou shalt live. But man didn't do. Man did not obey God, and now the law of God, demands payment and justice for man's failure to obey God. So here's what you got. Man's spiritually dead. He's got no ability to undo the wrong. He couldn't obey God before he failed, and now he's died spiritually, and he certainly can't obey God now. And therefore, the scriptures declare, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now listen to this. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Do you know what that means? That means that the law is saying, there are no deeds that you can do for me, for the law, to say, you're justified, you're without sin, because you've already fallen. You're already guilty. The law is not going to look at any of us and say, you're clean before me. We were born rebels. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. We came forth liars. We came forth from our mother's womb spiritually dead. So what can you do? What can you do now? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that a creature, one created, there's nothing that he can do to undo the wrong. If I came forth a rebel, what am I going to do to undo being a rebel? Nothing. I can't do it. The law cannot save me. Why? Because the law's blood wasn't shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. If the law can't justify a man. When I say justify a man, this is what I'm saying. to look and say there's no guilt there. Or more than that, there's never been any guilt there. That's what to justify. To justify says that there's nothing there to condemn. That's justify. So the law cannot justify. Why? Because man's guilty. If you took something and you were caught red-handed, I'm going to tell you something. The law is not going to look at you and say, nah, no guilt there. If you're caught, you're caught. And you're guilty. So the law cannot, it can't justify a man. It can't save him. And it can't make him righteous. Why? Because for a man to be righteous, he has to have holiness. And again, where did he come from? He did. The only thing that the law can do, the law that Romans 3:20 says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The only thing that the law can do is expose the depth and darkness of our sin and then execute justice. This is what the law does. That stop sign that I'm coming up to in an intersection, that stop sign can't make me stop. I'll go through it if I want to. But I can tell you what that stop sign did. It just told me, you just broke the law. Can it make me innocent? No, sir. Can it justify me? No, sir. What does it do? It shows me that I'm a rebel. That's what it did. You say, well, it's just a stop sign. That's an emblem of the law. And when Almighty God told Adam, don't eat it, and Adam did it, he sinned and we did too, all of us. Now here we are. Can that stop sign kind of take it back a little bit and say, no, he didn't mean it. I'm going to take that guilt away from him and make it where he's not guilty. Once I did it, I did it. What's the penalty now? What is the only thing that's left for those that are guilty? And let me tell you something, we're all guilty. Just don't think that, well, everybody else is. No. What's the penalty? The wages of sin is death. But there's a hope. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. According to God's word, before there was a sinner, here's some good news, there was a Savior. Before man was ever created, there was a surety. How long has the surety stood for God's people, God's elect? God chose a people and chose them in Christ. And Christ himself, according to an everlasting covenant of grace that King David said, this is all my hope, this is all my salvation right here. What is it? That I've done something to save myself? No, sir. I've always settled that. By the deeds of the law, no flesh is going to be justified in his sight. Well, what if I know? Well, what if I know? What do you mean? I mean by the deeds of the law, no flesh is going to be justified. That's what I mean. Well, what hope do I have? I'm guilty. I'm dead. I don't care. What hope do I have? According to God's eternal covenant of grace, there was a surety. The Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of God's covenant, that stood as one that would answer. Eternally, God saw his people in the fall. Nobody slipped up on God. Well, the Lord just didn't know what was going to happen. Oh, he knew. That's why they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. And according to God's covenant of grace, Christ made himself, I will stand, who would answer for the bride that would in time willingly obey him and abandon him. We're all spiritual Gomers. You remember Gomer in the book of Hosea? He was the wife of Hosea, the prophet. And God told Hosea, he said, you marry her. She was unfaithful. She was a harlot. And God told Hosea, he said, marry her. And Hosea did it. And what did she do? She was unfaithful. And in her unfaithfulness, she was all just, you know, proud and this, that, and the other. And Hosea would bring, when she was just down to the dregs of nothing, used and abused and everything. And Hosea would bring her food at night, leave it at the door. And she attributed it to all of her lovers. All my lovers have done this. And it was Hosea all the time. And when there was nothing else, she was on that auction block, you know, going to auction her off. Hosea bought her. Why? Loved her. We're all spiritual gomers. That's us. Unfaithful. Unfaithful. And here she is. She's the gift from the Father. God Almighty, who knew she'd fall, saw her in the fall, left her to herself to fall. But oh, the beauty of redeeming grace. What honor and glory and praise is rendered unto the Lord for His goodness. He allowed her to do just exactly what she wanted to do. But she was His gift, the Father's gift to the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His own purchase, He went to the cross for her. John 10:15 said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He knew her debt to the broken law. He knew what she owed. What did she owe? Everybody owes it. Now that we've sinned against God, what do we owe to the law? Death. That's the only thing left. Death. The wages of sin is death. That debt is going to have to be paid. If she pays it, she'll be eternally separated from Him. Eternally in hell. But it's going to have to be paid. God's fair. And so here she is. She's going to have her debt paid in the surety. There's all the evidence. The law says she promised to obey, and she didn't. And now the law says, I want justice to be done. I want justice. And that's fair. Ain't nothing wrong with justice. You know, we cry and, you know, moan and groan. How about some plea bargaining? Not with God. Justice. Justice. And justice demands she's guilty. And I want her to die. That's what the law says. That's fair. And here's the great surety of the sheep, who now is a surety for the unreliable and unfaithful one that incurred the debt, the stranger. And the law says, I want her. I want her. And the surety steps up and says, I'll pay it. I'll make good on it. That's just like that beautiful story of Judah in Genesis 43:9. You remember, I mentioned this the other day. Remember Judah? It was Jacob, the dad, and Joseph, his son, you know, had given a coat of many colors. You remember that story? And his brothers were jealous of him and said, let's kill him. And Judah said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. Let's sell him to that traveling caravan over there. And they took him. And so they killed an animal, took his coat, killed an animal, put blood on it, brought it back to Jacob. And says, this is what happened. Joseph's dead. Animal got him. And Jacob's all, you know. Now here's Joseph. Now he's raised up second in command in Egypt. He's got the hand over the corn. Everybody else is in, you know, in debt. The only place that's got any corn is Egypt. And here's Joseph. Here comes his brothers looking for corn. They don't know who he is. He recognizes him. Tells him, "You got another brother?" "Yeah, Benjamin, youngest. Bring him. You don't bring him, don't come back." Brothers go back and tell Jacob. Said, "We got to take Benjamin." Jacob says, "Not Benjamin. That's my youngest. I can't do that. I done lost one boy. I don't want to lose another one." They said, "Well, the guy over there says, if we don't bring Benjamin back." But here's the most beautiful story. Judah, Benjamin's older brother, said to Jacob, the daddy, "I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring not him unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever." And here's what the great surety of God's covenant says. "I'll be surety for those that you've given me. I'll be surety for those that I died for. I'll be surety for them. If I don't bring them to you safe, I'll bear the blame forever." And Almighty God said, "He shall not fail." Therefore, here's the stranger, guilty, subject to eternal death, but God who chose to show mercy. And he was not going to show mercy at the expense of justice. Sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the Lamb himself, the one that this world saw no beauty, the one that was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom we hid our faces, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. But this was the beloved of God. This was the one God trusted. The glorious Son of God himself, Jehovah, made flesh. And at Calvary, a marvelous revelation of God's wisdom was beheld. Wisdom that openly displayed how God could be just and justify a sinner. Christ was made the stranger. He was made sin. He was made the guiltiness. Now listen, it is not that the Lord Jesus Christ just paid her debt, though he did. He became her. There's a big difference. You owe $100 and I go down and pay $100 for you, you don't owe the debt anymore, but the remembrance is there. Somebody can say, "Well, I tell you what, he owed $100. Marvin went down and paid it. But I wouldn't trust him." I mean, Marvin made good on the debt, there ain't no doubt about that. But I'll tell you this, he's still not here. Not that. That's not what substitution is. That's what you said, Neil. It's not substitution. Here's substitution. Christ was made her. He was made her. She deserved to die. And she's going to die. And Christ was made her. Made sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A marvelous display of God's wisdom and power. Who could figure that out? How can God be just and justify a sinner? So here's the court now. We're back to we're back in court now. Here's the stranger in debt. Here's the creditor, the law. The law said she didn't make good. And the surety steps up and says, "I'll make good on it." And the judge says, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." A woman that's estranged herself has estranged herself from him. Now, whenever we see this pledge, this garment, the garment in Scripture is always spoken of, or almost always, let me say it like that, as a symbol of the character or the conduct of the owner. Listen to this. Concerning the wicked, as he, this is Psalm 109, 17, 18, as he loveth cursing, it's talking about the wicked, as he loveth cursing, so let it come upon him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment. What is he clothed? What's he got wrapped around him? He's got a garment of cursing. So let it come into his bowels like water, like oil into his bones. Listen to the character of a believer concerning a garment. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So whenever we consider the surety, the one that stood for the stranger, the one that pledged that which was represented by a garment, here's what we realize. This garment that was pledged was a picture, a type of his character. What was his character? I'll read out of John 19. John 19, concerning the garment of the Lord, John 19, 23. Then the soldiers, when they'd crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts to every soldier a part, also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and from my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. He had a garment about him, and it was all woven in one piece. It had a hole in the top of it. He put his head through it. And that's what he wore. That was his garment. But that outer garment was a picture, a type of his unbroken perfection and holiness. It was the best robe. That was the robe of his righteousness that is imputed to every one of his people who have cast themselves upon his mercy. And the law says, the one that is surety, I'll take his coat, his garment, as payment. That's what it's going to take. The one who laid down himself, that pledged to pay, what did it cost him? Everything. It cost his life, his blood, all that was represented by his garment. And it extracted, the law extracted from him the totality of the debt. What's it going to take? The surety is going to have to die. But in his death, the stranger, her guilt that he took for himself was paid and put it away. One sacrifice. It was who was dying for her. He was made sin, and the law says justice must be done, and the sword of God's justice was plunged into the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he put away her debt, he bore it away. Now here's what she's got left. Here's the stranger. She has no debt. No record of debt. Not before God. Not before God. He's borne it away. And the law now says she made good on it in her surety. Christ now robes them in his own righteousness. And here's the way she stands now. She who was formerly guilty and wretched and uncaring, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ has borne her guilt in his own body, being made her. And God robes them in his obedience and gives them that and says, that's yours. That's yours. He took yours. You take his. How is she going to know it? How does she know what happened? How does she know? How does she know what's going on? In the fullness of time, God Almighty sends a glorious message of grace and compassion to his people called the gospel. And he tells his people what they've done, what he's done. What they've done, yes, and what he's done for them. And he reveals to them in the scriptures this glorious message of grace and compassion and teaches them, you couldn't do anything. What could you do? You're already guilty. It doesn't matter what you do from now on. You were born guilty. It ain't going to help. It's just works of righteous self-righteousness. You know, filthy rags is all it is. And he takes this gospel and he teaches a preacher the gospel, the message of grace, and he preaches it. And when it pleases God, the Spirit of God, Scripture says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me, he's talking about an intellect. The Father gave him somebody. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'm not going to cast out. Why? The Father gave them to me, and I bought them. They're mine. You got a vehicle you're driving in? Yeah. Did you buy it? Yeah, it's yours. Got a title to it? It's yours. They're mine. And according to his good pleasure, whenever he calls them by grace, gives them power and faith to believe, and they call, they come. They said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. He already has. The scripture declares, John 7, here's the last passage I'm going to read for this morning in this message. John 7, it says, John 7:37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now let me tell you something. Everybody's born in debt. Everybody's in debt. What can anybody do to get out of it? Nothing. Nothing. Well, I can do. No, you can't. I can walk down the aisle, so what? I can do that. But that's not going to justify me before God. As I've said before, I can come down here and sit down and kneel somewhere, and I can start praying. You're still guilty. You're not going to take your guilt away. I've got to have somebody, and there's only one somebody. I've got to have one that will answer for me before God. I've got to have one that will become me and deal with God on my behalf and truthfully put away my guilt. And then I have to have righteousness. I have to be holy. How holy does a man have to be? How good does he have to be to get into heaven, be in the presence of God? You got to be as holy as God. Now you tell me how you're going to accomplish that. You're not. Oh, but if the surety is answered for you. Okay, last question. How can I know if he's done this for me? How can I know if Almighty God has not looked to me to answer? What could that stranger do? Nothing. The surety is going to have to do everything. How do I know if he's done this for me? One way. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Believe on Him and not yourself, and you have life. May the Lord bless these words to our heart. Amen. All right, let's take about a 10-minute break.